Hi there, thank you very much for joining us on the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post. Don't forget to download the Racing Post app and get a wealth of information, stats, tips and betting functionality with leading bookmakers at your fingertips. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm delighted to be joined this week by David Jennings and Richard Birch to bring you previews of a great weekend of racing. We've got one of the clashes, not just of the season, but potentially for the ages at Ascot. Everyone is really excited about it. The cynic in me still half believes it's not going to happen, but I must banish those thoughts and get excited like everyone else. So we've got Ascot on Saturday. We've also got racing from Taunton and Haydock on Saturday. And then we've got a TV treat on Sunday, Lingfield, day three of their brilliant new winter festival. Really, really enjoying that. And we'll see what the boys fancy there. I think we've got a new pairing here, Birch, isn't it? Have you had the pleasure of doing one with DJ yet?
Yeah, I did last time. Second appearance, I did. Oh, yeah,
I did your job, Bruce.
Oh, you were hosting and Birchie was the expert, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, yeah. He thought I was very good, actually, so we did.
Oh, excellent. Please do. Well, listen, I mean, by all means, get on well, but if you want to clash and disagree on certain things, that's fine as well. We'll rattle through it because there is loads on. We'll start at the 1:45 at Ascot. All the action on ITV4, by the way. 2 miles, 3.5 furlongs for the SBK Holloway's handicap hurdle. These are guide prices. Gary Claremont is 7-2. Unexpected Party 4-1. Stella Magic 9-2. Smurfy Yankee 9-1. 10 bar. Birchie, when I looked at my tracker to see which horses that are on there are running this weekend, the only one of any interest is Unexpected Party. Does that one get the Birch seal of approval or are you going to look elsewhere?
I can see why it's on your tracker and why you would fancy it. Didn't like the way it was turned over at odds on at Weatherby the other day. But prior to that, very, very progressive. Just the sort of horse who Dan Skelton will do very well with. And absolutely, I can see it. But my fancy in the race is the one just beneath it in the handicap, Smurfy Enki. I thought he ran an absolute blinder at Fontwell on Boxing Day. He was carrying 11 stone, 12 pounds in bottomless ground. I think he probably went for home a little bit too quickly. He went for home around that sort of sandy bottom turn. And with all that weight, he was vulnerable in the closing stages and he just got run out of it. I think he probably might not have been at peak fitness that day either. And with just 10 stone, 10 pounds to carry at Ascot, I think he's got a great chance. He'd be one of my best bets of the day.
Oh, excellent. Birchie plays one of his bankers early doors. DJ, what do you like here?
I like Phil's Dudares on his first start for Nicky Henderson. It's a fascinating race. Stella Magic is a horse I like, but he has all the ingredients of bouncing here, I think, because he had a hard race last time where he's just caught at Haydock. But I think with Phil Zudare, Bruce, you've got a horse here who has shown serious potential over fences, beaten 3.5 lengths by NYLN last year, Punchestown in the Grade 3. Before that, he beat Brayside. Brayside, of course, won the Cork Grand National and was unlucky in the Paddy Power at Leopardstown. And that level of form, even running last year's Paddy Power Plate, where he was only a 16-1 shot, I think that's an extremely high level of form. He only had 2 starts over hurdles, and both of those were in France, and went to Joseph O'Brien after that. He's now with Nicky. He's running off a mark of 1.38, and he has the potential to be chucked in. He really does. He could be a 1.50 horse. Whether he is or not, we're going to find out here, but he's definitely worth chancing at around 11 or 12 to 1.
FFP, that's pretty scary.
It is very scary, yeah, but it's not that long ago. Like, it's only this time last year he was second to NYLN. So he hasn't lost the plot altogether, I don't think. He's just been running really good races.
All right, then 2:20, 2 miles, 7.5 furlongs for the SBK Mare's Hurdle. It's a Grade 2. And Molly Ollie's Wishes heads the market at 9-4. From Western Victory at 5-2. My Sister Sarah, 11-4. And then the 3 outsiders. 6 runners. Who's going to come out on top, David?
Well, I know what you fancy here anyway. I think you're the founding member of the Molly Ollie's Wishes fan club, Bruce, are you?
Yeah, I do like her. I was just slightly concerned last time, but I don't know. Do you think I should keep the faith?
I like her too, but I don't think she'll win here. I think I like her style. I like her kind of panache. I think she's a great filly to watch. But no, I like My Sister Sarah here. I'm really sweet on My Sister Sarah. I just think 2 miles around, or 2.5 miles around the kind of inside track at Leopardstown is very tight for a mare like My Sister Sarah. And I thought she was taken out of her comfort zone last time behind Royal Cahal. And don't forget, like, Tell Me Something Girl was third in that race. And Heaven Help Us, who, of course, won the Coral Cup last year. That was a strong race. It was run at a fast clip. And I just thought My Sister Sarah got tapped for toe. And you see finishing 6th of 9, beating 15 lengths, and you think it's a terrible run. I'm not quite sure it was that bad at all. The time before at Kempton, you know, she was in a different class to her rivals that day. She won a listed race by 7 lengths from Dragon Bones. I just think the way this race is going to be run and the pace they're going to go is going to turn it into a stamina sapping test. And I think she's the one best equipped for this. People will think she's a bit disappointing. I don't think she is. I think 11 to 4 is a smashing price.
Okay, Birch, are you going to strap your betting boots on for this one?
Bruce, you can keep the faith in Molly Ollie's wishes. I think she's got a great chance. She's very prolific, winner of 4 of her last 6 races, will like the ground, arguably better at 3 miles than, you know, the 2 miles she won over at Wetherby earlier in the season. And also, I'm just looking at the conditions of the race, £60,000 prize money. I mean, this is exactly the sort of race, if Dan Skelton wants to be champion trainer, and you know he does, this is just the sort of race that he'll have been targeting with a specific horse for quite some time. I think she fits the bill, and I think she's got a great chance.
I've just noticed, of course, there could be a really poignant win, couldn't there, if Anything for Love wins after poor old Meatloaf left us overnight.
Yes, tragic.
Yeah.
Tragic.
Were you a big Meatloaf fan? Do you know what, Birchie? Meatloaf, like Paul Keighley, I don't know if you know, but he's absolutely got no interest in music whatsoever, except for Meatloaf. That's the only act he likes. You a Meatloaf fan, Birchie?
Yeah, well, I can't understand why they keep saying, you know, whenever they said that he was dead this morning, they said he's sort of remembered for Bat Out of Hell. I mean, for me, it's Dead Ringer for Love, isn't it?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Yeah, I do.
Do you know, Bruce, in my Liverpool group that I often talk about, our WhatsApp group, we have more Meatloaf puns than anything else in life. Because, like, if somebody does a Trixie and somebody go, oh, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, or I don't know. I can't think of any other ones on the spot. But
you just do that one over and over again.
I think of others as the show goes on.
Okay. No, very sad news. Anyway, on with the show. 2:55 at Ascot is the Bet365 handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. We've got 8 runners, and Palmer's Hill is fav at 3-1. Fanion Destreval is 5-1. Killer Clown is 6s. Phoenix Way is 6s. 8 Spar. You can go first, Birchie.
Like Phoenix Way, got a nice weight, 10 stone 4 pounds, with Kevin Brogan taking 3 pounds off. I think Brogan's one of the finds of the season, very, very good value for his claim. Phoenix Way ran second last time to one of my favourite horses, Ansam. I think Ansam's a very underrated horse, potentially the winner of the Ultimar Chase at Cheltenham in a couple of months' time. He may, Ansam, pull out all the stops. Came from off the pace that day when not a great deal did come from off the pace. I think he's got a great chance.
Excellent. Phoenix Way for Birchie, and who for DJ?
Ah, oh, Phoenix Way. Me and Birchie agree. This just has Phoenix Way written all over, to be honest with you. I think Palmer's Hill, as regards the Paddy Power plate at Cheltenham, I think he's really interesting. I think, like, winning this off 1-4-2, is he really, like, he's likely to go up to maybe 150 for the Paddy Power plate? I'd imagine that's his main aim. Whereas I don't think it would be with Phoenix Way. If you remember last year, they swerved the festival as well, when I thought he had a bit of a chance at one of the handicaps, and they went to Aintree instead. And even the year before, he won a Pretemps qualifier at Huntington and didn't go to the festival either. So I'm not sure if he's a festival type of horse, but I loved his run the last day. I know he's won over 3 mile, won over hurdles, but I don't think he's really an out-and-out stayer, even the way he travels in his races. I think this trip is going to be far more to his liking. And as Birchie said there, the run at Ascot, when you kind of put it in context to other horses that were similarly positioned to him throughout the race, was a cracking run. I thought between the last two, he could potentially win. And then after the last, I just thought he got outstayed a little bit. I think he's well handicapped off 140. I think Kevin Brogan's £3 claim is an absolute bonus. And I think the 6-1 currently on offer could be halved by the time of the race.
Oh, the lads agree on Phoenix Way. Let's see if they'll agree on the race of the day, the race of the week, the race of the season, potentially. 3:35 at Ascot, the SBK Clarence House Chase, a grade one over 2 miles and 1 furlong, bringing together unbeaten in 6 chases, Shishkin, and unbeaten in 5 places, Enigamine. Latest betting 8-11 Shishkin, 7-4 Enigamine, 12 First Flow, 100 and Moolah Gold. I looked at this weekend, all weekend I've been thinking, what's less likely to happen? Shishkin versus Enigamine or Arsenal versus Burnley, the two kings of the sick notes in the Premier League, but they both are due to happen this weekend. Like I say, we're still 24 hours away from this. There's still time for a dirty scope or something to happen. But let's banish those negative thoughts. Let's look forward to it. First of all, DJ, how excited are you about this? It should be an absolute belter, shouldn't it?
Oh, sure. If you're not excited about this, Bruce, forget about it. Stop listening, folks, if you're not interested in this, because this is what it's all about. And the fact that it's happened, I actually think some people even on Twitter are probably disappointed it's happening because they want to give out about one of them being taken out. But Willie has said all along that Enigamine was running this race. And then obviously when Nicky spoke to Nick Luck last Saturday, Shishkin was going there too. So here they are. And look, it's very hard. Obviously, we need to have strong opinions on races like this. But it is very hard to have an absolute definite view.
You don't need to have a strong opinion, DJ, at all. You really don't. If you just want to say, look, I'm going to sit back, put my feet up and enjoy it, then that's absolutely, fine.
Absolutely. And that's what I was going to say. I'm just saying it's very hard to have a very strong opinion because we don't know. Neither horse has reached the ceiling of their ability yet, and we don't know what that ceiling is. I think Shishkin will win, and I think Shishkin is a better horse than Enigamine. I'm basing that on a couple of different things. I looked through all of Enigamine's form, and yes, of course, everybody will be screaming, you could only beat what's put in front of you. And he beat Janadil, who was a Grade 1 winner, at Fairy House by 16 lengths at Punchestown in April. But I'm not sure the same as that Janadil that won at Fairy House was the one who turned up at Punchestown. Last time he beat Daily Tiger at Cork. His best pieces of form are like beating a kind of an out of form Captain Guinness and maybe Franco de Port last year and Black Bow. I just don't think Embittered has beaten as much as Shishkin has beaten. I don't think he's done as much to warrant his rating as Shishkin has. I think he's an exceptional horse, and he's one of these because of his running style. He is so exhilarating and exciting, and we really don't know how good he is. Whereas Shishkin might hit a flat spot, and he does kind of Enigamine sickens horses in the mid part of his races, whereas Shishkin sickens horses with his kind of turbo boost from two out. So that's what makes the race even more fascinating, to see whether Enigamine can take Shishkin out of his comfort zone in the middle part of this race. But I think Enigamine is going to suit Shishkin because I think Shishkin jumps better at speed and there's going to be no hiding place here. I just looked through his form and you can argue similarly to Enigamine, there's Eldorado Allens in there, but he has hammered Grenadine at Kempton. He has done absolutely everything right over fences. And until he does something wrong, I just can't see how you can take him on. And I don't think 8-11 is the worst price in the world, Bruce.
Okay. I must admit, based on what you were saying about the in-play potential here, I did just wonder whether I might just sneak in a little 2-1 Shishkin in play in the hope that might have that flat spot. Birchie, what do you make of it?
Same as David, really. It's a great race. I don't know enough about Enigamine, if I'm honest. I mean, I'm not the greatest judge of Irish form. Only from what I've seen of him, and that race last time when Notebook took him on, Notebook just finished so battered and bruised at the rear of the field. It looked like, you know, he'd come up against a tank and felt the consequences. So I think just from that sort of visual interpretation, we know that Enigamine is potentially very special. But at this stage, I think we already know that Shishkin is very special. You know, the first time I saw him in that Kempton bumper, he just oozed qualities. You know, turn of foot, cruising speed, wallop, got it done. Then he went to the Supreme Novices hurdle. Everything went wrong in that race. There were some very good horses against him, obviously. And he got up and won. I mean, he pulled it out of the fire. So there's every indication then that he was special. Then he's gone over fences. And I remember the first time he ran over fences at Kempton. You'll remember this, Bruce. There's an iconic Ed Byrne photo. You've probably got it hanging on your wall as I have, of Pendle jumping the open ditch at Kempton. Yep. It's the most gorgeous picture of a racehorse I've ever seen. And Shishkin jumped one of those fences. I don't know whether it was that open ditch, but I watched that race and he jumped one of those fences. And I immediately thought, you know, of that Pendle picture. He's absolutely gorgeous jumping it. And he's progressed from that run. I think, you know, I've seen three occasions during his career so far when I felt he's special. The Kempton bumper, the Supreme Novices hurdle, and his debut over fences. It's all sort of, he's a special horse. And I think he's already proved it. We'll see. I fully expect him to win tomorrow. How do you get him out of his comfort zone? He's got such a high cruising speed, and then he finds for pressure when he needs to. I think he's a star. I think he's another Aalto. I think he's another Sprinter Sacra. It's incredible that Nicky Henderson's had three in like 5 years, but I do think he's the real deal, and I'll be astonished if he gets beat.
Astonished if he gets beat. Very quick one for you, Birchie. At what price would you start getting interested in First Flow?
No, I don't fancy him at all. Not for me.
No. Brilliant. Okay.
Oh, no.
No, not at all. All right then,
not,
lads.
Excellent. Not a fan of the horse at all.
Jolly good. Well, that was Ascot. We've got Haydock and Taunton and Lingfield on Sunday coming up. Stay with us.
The Racing Postcast is supported by Racing Post Members Club. Featuring award-winning journalism, expert tips, and renowned form study tools, this is the only racing subscription you need to stay ahead of the field. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22, that's POST22, to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. That works out at just £17.48 per month to unlock all of the premium features, and it renews at full price thereafter. Head to racingpost.com/postcast for all of the details and to claim.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Richard Birch. We've done Ascot. Let's look at Haydock. Three races there on ITV4, starting with the 2 mile Sky Bet Supreme Trial, Rossington Main Novices Hurdle, for which Jean Bon, if we think that Shishkin's exciting, there's plenty of people getting almost as excited about Jean Bon from the same stable. He's 4-9 to maintain his extraordinary career. My Tie is 11-2, Richmond Lake 9-1. And it's 20-1 bar. Birchie, penalty kick for Jean Bon?
I think so, as long as he handles the ground. You know, deep mud.
We're looking at soft, aren't we? There's not going to be much more in the way of rain, is there? I mean, at the moment it's soft, but...
Yeah, it's going to be... I think it's going to be hard work. I think it's going to be pretty testing. But, you know, you could argue it was the same with Constitution Hill. I mean, he went to Sandown for that race and was unproven on... very testing ground, and he just routed the opposition, didn't he? I mean, it's the same as Jean Bon. He's unproven on ground this soft. If he handles it, he's got a great cruising speed and turn of foot. He really should win. He's very, very exciting. I mean, he's got the penalty.
We've gone all muffled on us, Birchie, there. Sounds like
it's stuck over
your head. Yeah, you're back. Okay. We got it loud and clear, though. You expect Jean Bon to win. DJ, is there any betting opportunities here?
There almost is. If there was eight, I'd be very sweet on Donny Boy, each way, who I think is actually underrated. But just on Jean Bon, I don't know if you've seen his point at Dromahan. Like, it was officially yielding to soft, and there was a plenty of dig in it, and I thought he coped fine with it. Like, it was November 2020, and it was a wet enough couple of weeks, and I thought he coped fine with the ground that day. So I'd imagine he'd be fine. He's just the best horse in the race, and he's going to win. I do think Might Eye is a good horse, and I can't wait until he steps up and trip, because this horse has ability. Yes, he was made look absolutely ordinary by Constitution Hill last time, but I think he's crying out for a step up and trip. He's a half-brother to Binge Drinker and Statler, who are both out and out stayers. So I think he's a nice horse who will appreciate a step up and trip. I'd love to see him go for the Ballymore. But Donny Boy, like, with regards match bets and kind of, I don't know, betting without the top two in the market, like, he's 20-1 straight. I do think Donny Boy is a good horse, and I think he's going into this race a little bit under the radar. I liked what I saw from Mikelso when he won his bumper. He looked very good in his point that he won also with Dromahan, like Jean Bon. And I thought he was good last time at Newcastle. I think he's a nice horse. I think he'll run well. I think he'll run better than a 20-1 shot. But look, it's very hard to see Jean Bon beat.
Okay, we've got another odds on Fav in our next race, the 2 o'clock at Haydock. It's the new one, Unibet Hurdle, grade two over 2 miles, and Tommy's Oscar is 4-6. Hunter's Call 9-4, 12-1 bar, just the six runners. Would you advise, DJ, that people double up Jean Bon with Tommy's Oscar?
Ah, yeah. Yeah, he'd probably win. He doesn't. Like, it's just... it's just a terrible race, Bruce. Like, he's a gorgeous horse, and I love everything about him and his profile and the way he's progressed through handicaps. But, like, talking about him as winning a champion hurdle trial is just ridiculous. He's absolutely no chance in a champion hurdle. He should beat a 12-year-old easily. Yes, I would advise people to do the double because I think both horses will win, and Tommy's Oscar is less to beat possibly than John Bond. It's just overall in the grand scheme of things, Bruce, it's just bitterly disappointing that there are no decent 2-mile champion hurdle contenders in England.
Yeah, you are right. I mean, we know it, and it's when you see races like this that it brings it home to you, isn't it? Okay, Birchie, DJ can barely suppress his enthusiasm for this race. What about you?
Well, similarly, really. But, I mean, the main feature of the race is I'm a big fan of Danny McMiniman. He's got a big opportunity in the spotlight here on Tommy's Oscar. You know, a Grade 2 race, it might not be the greatest Grade 2 of all time, but to Danny McMiniman, it's going to be a big, big day for him. Tommy's Oscar, he's improved out of all recognition over the last sort of 6-8 weeks. He's from a stable who place their horses incredibly, incredibly well. He won't mind the ground. He was very impressive at Musselburgh last time. Last time out forms his best, is a career best effort. He really should win, but it is a non-vintage race. But, you know, good luck to Danny and Tommy's Oscar, and I hope they win.
Excellent. Jolly good. The 2.35 at Haydock now is the Peter Marsh handicap chaser over 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs. And last year in this race, Royal Pagai absolutely bolted up and started getting single-figure Gold Cup quotes. It hasn't really gone right for him since, but he's back here off the same weight, and he's 5-2 favourite. Remastered is 4-1, 5 Empire Steel, 8 Lord de Maynil, and 11 Bar. Birch, am I missing something with this Royal Pagai? I mean, 5-2 is big, isn't it?
If he was at his very best, possibly.
Feel free to say no.
No, I agree with you. He's the class horse of the race, but it's the fact that he's got to give away such a lot of... It's not just the fact that he's got to give away such a lot of weight in the ground. It's the fact that he's carrying 11 stone 10 in the ground. And when you add those two things up, he has got to be, you know, a proper Gold Cup horse to win and concede that amount of weight away. I mean, my game is not backing horses to concede weight to other. My game is, you know, backing horses in receipt of plenty of weight from others. So he doesn't really appeal to me.
He carried 11-10 last year, Bert.
He did carry 11-10 last time, and the Betfair Chase run. I mean, I know not many of them ran up to their form, and he was beaten 22 lengths or whatever. But it's still a Grade One. It's still Grade One form. Yeah, I couldn't put if you fancy him. I really, really couldn't put you off. But if I was having a bet in the race, and I'm not, it would be Remastered. Purely because I remember the Ladbrokes Trophy. I remember him travelling really well when he fell at the fourth last. And I think he might have come out a bit too soon after that run when he was second to Encard, trying to concede him 18 pounds. He acts well round Haydock. He's only got 10 stone 7 on his back. And he's 3 wins from 6 starts over fences, so he's still unexposed. I think there could be more to come from him, and I think he might be the one. It's a very, very, very competitive race. You can argue Sam Brown's overpriced. I mean, he's got Grade 2 winning form around the track. You can argue that Kaluki's improving. Fortescue, he ran a blinder against an unexposed horse last time at Kempton. There's plenty in there. So, you say, would I take 5-2 Royal Pagai? I wouldn't, but, you know, if you want to, do.
All right. I must resist the urge to infuse these broadcasts with my own dumbass opinions, DJ. It's always so demoralising when you experts shoot them down. What do you make of it?
I tell you, there's a lot of listeners that wouldn't mind your betting account, Bruce. I'd say you're not doing too bad. I think you're being a bit harsh on yourself there. Look,
can you still get on, Bruce?
Yeah, which tells you everything you need to know.
plenty of coming from Royal Pagai. He is 7 pounds higher this year. He won off 156 last year, and he's 163 this year. And whether he's a better horse this year than last year, I'm not quite sure. He did bolt up, and it was effortless, and it was brilliant to watch. I just wonder, last year it was absolutely bottomless haydock ground. It was really, they were sinking in it. And he was probably the only one that really handled it. It's not going to be half as heavy this time around. It's officially soft. It's not going to be as hard a work. And I think more horses in the race are capable of coping with conditions much better. Plus, I think it's a much better race. I think Remastered, as Bertie said, has got a big chance. You know, there is a big handicap in him this year. But for me, the one that has must have so much in hand is Empire Steel. Like, I think, like, obviously you're guessing it was four out. But if you go and watch the Roll America at Weatherby on St. Stephen's Day, or Boxing Day, as you call it, and it kind of got lost because there's so much happening. It's King George Day and, you know, you're enthralled and everything. It was 10 past two. And I think maybe, you know, Epitant had just won. But he was absolutely running away with Roy Mania. Like, absolutely running away and cantering when he fell four out. My guess, for what it's worth, is that he possibly would have won by double figures, okay? I think that's how well he was going at the time. If that's the case, he's run off £2 higher now, which means he gets in off 143. I think he's a 150 horse running off 143. Of course, Protectorat didn't run his race at Kelso last year, but he still beat the third or fourth favourite for the Gold Cup by 41 lengths at Kelso. And I don't think he's fully exposed yet over fences. I am surprised he's not disputing favouritism here. I thought it'd be quite close between Empire Steel and Royal Pagai for favouritism. And unfortunately, Bruce, or fortunately for you, Empire Steel is probably one of my strongest fancies of the day.
All right, gents, thank you very much. The TV menu is topped off with a race at Taunton. It's the 3:15 and it's the BioWave Go Portman Cup. It's a chase over 3 miles, 4.5 furlongs. Last year, Yarlarenki won it, and he's back again, and he's fab. He's 5-6. It's 7-2 Elegant Escape, 5 Fallback, 11-2 Ramses de Tay, and 66 Coup de Panko. Do you fancy Yarlarenki, David Jennings?
Yeah, I do. I think he'd win. So that's all I have to say. You can move on.
Richard Birch?
Yeah, he won the race 12 months ago very easily after things went wrong for him coming into the home straight. He won off 11 stone 12 pounds at Cheltenham this season. Suggests he's as good as ever. It's good placing by Paul Nichols as always. Yeah, you really should win.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That's the TV action done. We'll get the rest of Saturday's fancies and then the Sunday TV action in just a jiffy.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast. Richard Birch and David Jennings are the experts. I'm the mug who asks the questions. I'm Bruce Willingson. And we will ask next what the lads fancy away from the TV cameras. So as well as Ascot, Haydock and Taunton on TV, we've got the undercards there. And then we've got Lingfield, day two of their winter festival. And that focuses on the flats. Some really interesting action there. Wolverhampton, all weather in the evening, and Navan in Ireland. We'll start with Birchie. Don't give your nap away, but tell the listeners anything else they should have on their radar.
Yeah, I fancy Miss M in the 3:53 at Taunton, trained by David Pipe, ridden by the very promising Philip Armisen, claiming 7. The reason is she's dropping very quickly in the handicap. She shaped really well over course and distance last time, and I think the drying ground will be firmly in her favour. I think she's definitely got a race of this type in her off the current mark, and she looks the best bet away from the TV action.
I can see a bit of 14-1, Birchie. Does that float your boat?
Yeah, she's the sort of mare that's either going to start a really heavily back 9-2 second favourite or be around 16-1. So might be one of those where it's best to see, you know, a mature market before you get involved.
Jolly good.
She's definitely capable of winning off his mark.
Nice one, Birchie. DJ, DJ, what have you got for us?
A couple, Bruce. I would say after the Clarence House, the one horse I'm really looking forward to seeing again is in the 4:05 at Ascot. It's the concluding novices hurdle. And if there's any type of, you know, 2-1, 9-4, possibly 5-2, which I doubt, but I'm going to be adventurous. I think Gallia de la Toe is potentially extremely smart. What he did in Wetherby, again on December 26th, I thought it was extraordinary, to be honest with you. I thought the further they went, the more ability she seemed to show. She won the race by 30 lengths and she could have won it by 60. It was just, I was like, whoa, what the hell is this? Because I watched all the replays that night, boring as I am. And I was like, this has to be something decent. And, you know, she looked good in her point as well when she won at Lochamore as well for Donegal Doyle. So I would say she could be a bit special. So I would advise people that might be trying to get out at the time, but Gallia de la Toe, I think, could be good, very good in the 4 or 5 at Ascot. And just a couple at Navan, Bruce. The one, the only, Mr. Tiger Roll is running in the 140 at Navan, the Navan handicap hurdle. And obviously people will be extremely interested to see how he's going to get on. And I would advise punters potentially to back him now for the cross country at Cheltenham. I think he's a good thing. He's going to get his nice ground. Everybody in the yard seems to be really happy with him. Even if he finishes in the first 10 or 12 here, I'd be fine for him going into Cheltenham. Remember what type of form he went into the race last year. So I wouldn't put anybody off backing him at around 13-2 for the cross country, because I think he'll win it again this year. And as regards to a bet on the card in that race, there's a horse with form figures of 3-4-4-0 who's been woefully out of form. But I think this could see him run his best race this season. Holy Macaponi, who'll be about, could be, you know, 20-1, 25-1 for Henry de Bromley and Rachel Blackmore. I think Navan will suit him. I think drop down from 3 miles to 2.5 mile would suit. And Henry's horse, of course, are coming back into a little bit of form as well. So Holy Macaponi in the 140 at Navan.
Thank you, chaps. Let's get the naps. Take it away, Steve.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with David Jennings.
Oh, I am going to go for my sister Sarah in the 220 at Ascot.
Richard Birch.
Smurfy Enke, 145 Ascot.
Splendid. Thank you very much, gents. Right then, as we said, there is TV action on Sunday from Lingfield. 5 races on ITV4. It's the final day of the winter. Is it the Winter Millions or the Winter Festival? I can't remember. But anyway, whatever it is a very welcome addition to the racing calendar at a time when it can get a little bit quiet. And it just keeps some of these horses that might have been put away for Cheltenham back out. We've got 5 TV races. I suppose the best one is the 3 o'clock. It's the Fleur-de-Lis Chase, Bristol Demire, Dashiell Drasher, Mr. Tommy Tucker. We've got Fanyon Destreval, Itchy Feet. Who else have we got? 2 for Gold. It's a brilliant race. Only 7 runs, but what a race. But rather than go through race by race, I'm going to simply open the floor to the boys and see who they fancy on the TV card at Lingfield. And we'll start with David Jennings.
In that main race, that Fleur de Lis Chase at 3 o'clock, I fancy Itchy Feet. Now, I'm a glutton for punishment, but I see Bet365 have gone 11-2 Itchy Feet, and I think that's too big. I actually think, now that he's getting a little bit older, he's an 8-year-old now, I actually think he's crying out for a trip. And when you look back at the Brave Man's Game run at Haydock, I know, obviously, Brave Man's Game was getting weight that day, but I thought it was a hell of a performance from Itchy Feet. Like, he didn't jump well, and he just kept plugging away and plugging away. He's obviously not the horse we thought he was going to be. But you know what? He's run some big races in the feet already this season, and he was second to All Mankind at Aintree. And I think this is exactly what he wants. I think he wants a stamina test now, and I think we'll see him in a good light here. I think Itchy Feet 11-2 is too big of a price, Bruce.
Anything else you like at Lingfield, DJ?
Yeah, just one other one. In the earlier races, it's in the 120. It's the Winter Million Novices Hurdle. Gavin Cromwell brings over Fame After the Glory, who could be in around favourite. Dan Skelton has got one in there, Ballygriffin Cottage. But high stakes for Warren Greatrix and Gavin Sheehan. I just thought in the shallow, I thought Gavin was a bit too positive and probably went too quick and set it up for stage star. High stakes fell at this. The last, I think, one well beaten. I think he was third or fourth. But turning for home, he had a couple of them in trouble. I just think a little less aggressive over a longer trip. I think High Stakes is a good horse, and I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I see the early prices about High Stakes are like 6-1. I'd be shocked if he would have 6-1. I think he's decent.
Excellent. Birchie, good this meeting, isn't it? Are you pleased to see it?
Yeah, very pleased, but very disappointed at my RFO naps not in the Surrey National at 3:35. I thought Move the Chains had a fantastic chance, and but Gary Moore hasn't declared him for some reason, so no joy on that front.
But what do you like?
I'm going to stay in that Surrey National because there's a horse right down at the foot of the weights called The Future is Bright, trained by Christian Williams. He ran an absolute blinder two runs ago at Haydock over 3.5 miles in bottomless ground. Yeah, he finished third. He was beaten some way, but he ran a great race. And I think he had a really, really hard race that time. And I think you can forgive his subsequent run when he pulled up. He was never going at all at Fakenham, and he pulled up very early on. So he didn't have a hard race that day. I think he's probably been freshened up since then with this race in mind. You know, it's a 31 grand race, valuable prize. He's got no weight, goes in the mud, still got plenty of scope over sort of staying trips. And I think Lingfield's going to suit him. So I fancy him as a substitute for Move the Chains in the
bit of 16 to 1 on offer, Birchie.
Yeah, I like that. Very nice, very nice. Yeah, I'll be back in that each way. And in the Fleur de Lis chase, I just look at some of the principal contenders, Bristol Demai, and I wonder, he didn't run very well last time and he's 11 now. I look at Dashiell Drasher and I think, he's a much better horse around Ascot. And then I look at Master Tommy Tucker and I think, yeah, he doesn't really get the recognition he deserves. He's a sort of, you know, he's hit and miss. But on his day, he's very, very, very capable. And it just looks to me the sort of race that Paul Nicholls has targeted for Master Tommy Tucker. And I think he might well win that. So they'd be my two bets at Lingfield.
Excellent.
The future is bright, Master Tommy Tucker.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed, gents. Where are you going to be enjoying the racing this weekend, DJ? Working? Are you at the course? Are you in the office?
Yeah.
Have you got domestic commitments?
We better mention one of the hottest favourites at the Cheltenham Festival before that, Bruce. 3:15 at Perlis Horse and Jockey Hotel Chase. Alaho runs against Fakir Dudare, the 1-2 from last year's Ryanair reopposing. And I thought Alaho had a hard race in the John Durkin, I really did. So I wouldn't be surprised if Fakir Dudare is giving him a real fright. As regards me, I'm in Navan working tomorrow and I'm working Sunday as well. So all work and no play, Bruce.
What about you, Birch? Are you going to put yourself through the ordeal of supporting your beloved Charlton this weekend?
Yeah, I'm at the Valley tomorrow. Charlton v Fleetwood.
How long does that take, the Isle of Wight to Charlton?
About 3 hours.
Yeah,
it's all right.
That's a long way home, isn't it, when you've got turned over.
He lives on the Isle of Wight.
Did you not know that?
No.
What's so funny about that?
I'm just surprised. I didn't know.
Well, they have houses. It's not just a lighthouse, you know. There's towns and a railway and everything. Yeah.
I'm in my shed at the moment, DJ.
how big is it, Birchie?
I lost last week.
How big is the island? Well, Birchie can tell you that. I mean, it's fairly sizable, isn't it? It's not like Fraggle Rock.
Probably if you walk from one end to the other, probably about 30 miles, I'd say.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't advise it. It's a long way. Mm.
A lot of cliffs as well. Gotta be careful.
You love it, don't you, Birchie?
I love it. I wouldn't live anywhere else, no.
Wouldn't you? But I mean, like I say, that must be a long way back. Charlton have gone down last minute at home to Fleetwood and you've got to schlep it. Don't you start.
And do you have to, this is going to be a stupid question, but do you have to get a boat?
Well,
yeah, of course,
the clue is in the aisle,
DJ.
Yeah.
So no, 45 no matter, minutes on the car ferry.
So anytime you want to go anywhere, you have to get on a ferry.
Yeah, or a hovercraft or a passenger ferry.
Yeah, that's right. They still have about the one remaining hovercraft service in the world, don't they?
Really?
Yeah, they do, yeah. You'll have to get over there, DJ. Take the family, go and visit Birchie for holiday. It's lovely over there.
God, I said Birchie couldn't think of that more, so I'd say.
Love to have you. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for your input. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, bet responsibly. Hope you have a good weekend. Maddie's back on Monday to review the action, and we're back next Friday for another Racing Postcast.